The first time I saw an aerial acrobat live under a big top, I was mesmerized by their ease and graciousness. It seemed like gravity did not get a hold on them. It was only afterwards, when I met the aerial acrobats at the bar, that I saw that this beauty has a price on their bodies. I saw the marks, the bandages, and the scars on their bodies that the aerial work had left on them. This is Circus Whispers, a podcast by Tent House for Contemporary Circus, hosted by me, Maaike Muis. Each episode, I interview circus makers who get the opportunity in the Maker for a Week program of Tent to do circus research. This week, Sarah Rumbaut and Sienna Bruce, two aerialists recovering after surgery, are makers for a week. They know everything there is about the love and the struggle of making art up in the air.
As circus artists, a lot of the time we identify our worth and our worth with our art, what we do, what we put on stage. And so that comes from your physicality. And when you lose your physicality, it really makes you question your whole identity.
For each episode, I interview the makers in the studio they work in. This week, we're in NND studio.
So my name is Shanna Bruce, and we are currently in the space of Boost.
And what does it look like?
I am Sarah, by the way. the space is like, the walls are made of wood and sort of big bricks, and there's a really nice big skylight. And then there's some I-beams to rig off and some mats scattered around the space. And we rigged some a hammock or a value swing and a rope to do vertical dance by the wall and a multi-cord with 16 strands of rope hanging off a ring.
I'd love to try out all these aerial techniques. What it was like, I'll tell you later on. Jahid Metin, one of the directors of Tent, explains why they selected Saar and Sienna for the Makers for a Week program.
We've been knowing Saar for many, many, many years. Back when, in the days when we were still working at the youth circus Elleboog, Saar was already one of our students. She's developed herself strongly. She did a cappella. Then she went to Sweden for a couple of years to develop her artistic practice in combination with rigging and rope technique. And she's recovering still from having a C-section. And her partner in crime, Shana, still recovering from a knee surgery. And their research is based around this theme, how to work as a circus artist with a body that is not in top shape, but that is still recovering from surgery. They're both aerialists, so they work up in the air, and they are planning on researching things that are working against the laws of gravity, but are not as demanding for the body physically as normal aerial work would be. Because aerial work can be quite intense for the body, working against gravity. And their research is about how to deal with these obstacles in a way that the less able body is can deal with it.
But then, is it still spectacular for the audience or interesting for the audience?
That's a good question. I think we'll have to see. That's something I'm not entirely sure of right now. But I think that's exactly the point that they're researching about. And their plan is also to not only make it a performative piece to show in front of an audience, but to work with other disabled or less abled circus artists as a form of, as an alternative form of working, and as a way of getting back into the business and back into training. So they're not only focused on making it a performative piece, but also passing it on to other circus artists in similar situations.
I'm always curious about the path that led to becoming a circus artist. So I started by asking Sarah and Sienna when they ran away with the circus.
I mean, I started circus at a youth circus at Circus Elleboog when I was 5. At that point, I didn't necessarily plan on running away with the circus. And then I went to New Zealand after finishing high school and ended up with a circus family there for a while. And that was actually the first time where I had the feeling, oh, this is actually something that I could do for a living and that I can, that maybe I can become a circus artist.
I was a dancer and I suddenly, I think it was about, I was about 19, and then I discovered or had the thought of like what about all this other negative space that's not being, you know, used, it's not being utilized to like say something. So all that space is kind of not being eaten, you know, like what's going on there. So then I got into harness quite quickly and naturally. I did some bungee harness in Liverpool, and then I went to the Irish Aerial Dance Festival and I did counterweight and performer flying and vertical dance. And I tried like fabric as well and hoop and trapeze, but I really enjoyed, like, it was natural, the dance element combined, going from floor to air, floor to air, floor to air, or from the wall and away.
How did you guys meet?
We met actually quite a long time ago in, I think in 2012, at the Irish Aerial Dance Festival in Letterkenny, where we were both, we've both been teaching and performing there for quite a few years. One thing I still really remember was for Chantal's 40th birthday, and Shanna was choreographing a flash mob. But we were like in the parking lot of the accommodation, and all these aerialists trying to learn a dance, and Shanna actually being able to dance, and most of the aerialists don't know how to move on the floor. So that was a very that made an impression.
I kind of felt a lot of admiration with Sarah. Like, she's very much a researcher in every element of her practice, and I really like that. There's always like a learning and an openness, and I always felt that with her, that it was always good conversation as well. And we can go on quite a tangent, and it's very nice. It feels very safe to explore circus with her. Yeah.
During the interview, we were sitting on the floor, cross-legged, warm cups of tea in the middle. Now, for aerialists, it might feel strange to be so grounded. So I asked them,
would you rather do an interview connected to the floor or up in the air, if we were to choose, or if it was able?
In a way, I would choose up in the air, but also having gone through pregnancy recently, I don't feel as familiar in the air anymore, which is also something we're working on at the moment, but that we're realizing, or speak for myself, but I'm realizing that I used to feel very much at home in the air, and way more than on the floor. And now I kind of have to rediscover that. So I think if I could choose, it would be like suspended above the floor and like sitting on something that is, for example, in the multicord, in the ropes, that you're kind of floating and moving around, but still in contact with the floor.
And for you, Shanna?
Oh, I think I would want to be on one of those big crash mats, you know, the ones that you just go into and it just kind of like sucks you in. I feel like we'd all really like that. And so I would really like that. So as much squishy support as possible is where I'm at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit more about your research?
I mean, we kind of came up with this idea because Shanna had a surgery on my due date that my child was supposed to be born. He was born a few days later with an emergency C-section. Yeah, Shanna's knee surgery and my C-section, in a way, they are very different, but there's also a lot of similarities. And we wanted to find ways to kind of get back into circus, but then also started discussing how there's not always space for a body that is not in perfect shape in circus, and how also when you're injured, that people really applaud it when you get back really fast. But if it takes longer to recover or to rehab, that there is a lot less support and that you're a lot more on your own with it. So we wanted to kind of find ways, partly through suspending different body parts, to facilitate that rehab, but also to open the discussion about it.
Is there sort of a taboo on injuries or not being in shape? Or can you tell me a bit more about that?
When you are injured, people have a hard time talking to you sometimes because they get kind of a fear of the reality of them being able to get injured as well. I think a lot of circus artists kind of feel a little bit invincible. When you are injured and you want to train somewhere, that it doesn't always feel like a very welcoming space.
Because you sort of represent their biggest fear.
Yeah.
The relationship of pain and a circus artist is something that sort of seems interconnected, and I see this paper lying here, and we're gonna dive into it more deeper because I see you pointing to it like, Sarah, here. We're gonna dive into it. No worries. So pain and circus seem intertwined.
Yeah, pain and circus, I think, go hand in hand, and it's something we talk about as maybe more of like a threshold that you have that you can kind of train and you get used to. And that's definitely something I would say I did experience and have experienced. It really is. And I also think renaming the word pain and calling it sensation a lot of the time helps. You know, what kind of sensation is this? Is this something that's really alarming and I need to stop? Or is this something if I take a breath or maybe do less of an amount of, then you can kind of build up a tolerance. After having a serious accident and having an injury that caused me daily pain and then having a surgery, it's really changed the meaning in my body and to me what pain means. And so now coming back into it, it's a whole different world. It's like, I can't believe did I actually do this? Was this the level I was at?
And while I was interviewing Sarah and Sianna, they were pinpointing at the papers around us. With colourful Sharpies, they've written on big sheets of paper, all sorts of clusters of words. Right, I promise we were going to dive into the paper, yeah. So here we are. What do I see here? You really want, you've been, you know, pinpointing at it all the time, Sienna, so you go first.
It's because I've like put half of it into what I said. No, it's a lot of different Sharpies being used and just different topics that have kind of come up in our discussion. So if we look at like our residency, we kind of named it Suspended to Discover Your Reformed Body. And from that, we've just kind of gone through a plethora of topics and subjects. So really, they're all kind of intertwined as well. And then...
Just turning around.
Yes.
Other side. What's on the other side? I see here, for example, everything feels unfamiliar. I feel like a beginner. Yeah. upside down is written. What does your body remember? Can my body trust me?
Yeah, and can I trust my body?
And this one?
That's something Shana wrote. Weakness, instability, and fear. But I think we're so used to having a body that is in control and that does what we want it to do. And then, like, if it's suddenly unstable or it's kind of scary to not be able to completely trust if your body is going to catch you or if it's going to support you.
Another way of writing was they wrote letters from different perspectives. For example, Shana writing from her titanium plate in her knee to her muscles. During the presentation the day after this interview, they invited the audience to write on topic of support for 5 minutes straight, and they read out their own letters out loud. This is Sarah's letter, from her happy feeling called Bubbles to her cloud swing.
Dear Value Swing, I enjoyed exploring with you. How you pretended to be my outside boundary, the way you hug the body while I'm trying to push it somewhere is comforting and annoying at the same time. Sometimes I just want to throw the body around without you catching it. But on the other hand, I like that we each have our own way of supporting her, guiding her and surrounding her. Are you holding back or supporting? How much do you let her stretch you to your limit? My limits are different. They don't work with force or weight, but how far you can stretch your imagination. The weight on the mind can feel heavier than 1,000 kilos. For you, it's quite clear when your limit has been reached. You make sounds and fall apart. For me, I don't know how you know, but at some point it just stops. All the best, Bubbles.
So, Bubbles is the word that Sarah and Siana use to describe this happy, light feeling that you get when you're up in the air. At least, the feeling that you get when you're healthy and in shape. What does it feel like for an unexperienced but healthy body like mine? Would I feel my limitations straight away? And then we've got the harness, which was written a letter to, which is a reliable character here, right?
I'm just trying to get your clothing underneath. This we can do in a sec. No, it's fine.
This one goes here.
Yeah,
and then you can just pull it.
All right. I'm just going to pull it
closer.
Yeah. Standing on my toes.
And
okay.
Now, if you sit down.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an aerial dancer. I never did this before.
So, yeah, it's like as soon as you put your weight in it, it's kind of automatically your legs go to the wall.
Yeah.
But for you, it might be different because I feel my like the muscles in my tummy like working immediately because it feels like I'm just hanging. But
yeah.
my
but then also, if
tummy
you try
muscles.
To, if you try to stand straight against the wall,
like a human.
It's a lot of core workout.
I feel it all trembling.
Yeah. So you can come back up. It's a lot of core workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really quite an amazing experience to be up in the air supported by the harness, feeling my relation to gravity change immediately. It felt easy and challenging at the same time because it was so new to me. What's the biggest challenge for Sarah and Siana this week?
I think kind of running into the unknown limitation of my body and to that I actually in a way secretly expected to just be able to do everything like before. Which is also I think within circus, after a pregnancy, people get back to performing quite fast, and that is kind of celebrated. So it feels like there is sort of an expectation, or that it's like good to get back as fast as possible. Trying to really take my time to really feel what is happening in my body and reconnect and get to know this body. Rehabilitation is kind of a lonely process. And even though what our experience or like what we're going through is very different, there are a lot of similarities, which is very nice to be together in the space and work on it.
So more like the maker for a week is a week which is for you, the circus artist, and we're making the podcast to share this circus research about how can you research circus, what is research in circus. But tomorrow you present it to a small audience. And what do you think an audience perceives when they see an injured or...
Good question. I think... it's an open discussion because to generalize it is obviously difficult. I think you become more human. And I don't know if that's necessarily what is expected when you see circus. Like it is really like we write there, like the expectation of circus, such this like hyper technical mobile body is what you're kind of going to see or what your expectation is. So to see someone who maybe is showing a story on their body, even if it's just by seeing a scar, or that they are not an atypical body, or they're not able-bodied, I think that would be quite different, but it brings a human element into it. And yeah, that just brings something different into circus.
And how did the audience see it? I asked Benjamin Kuitenbrouwer, a.k.a. Monkey, housemaker of Tent.
I saw two people searching, like every time in these sort of residency research presentations. In this case, I think I saw people searching for a way to, well, what's what they say themselves as well, to reconnect back with their bodies, what is, and even with their practice, I think. In this case, it's really about, so how do I get back into working, into practicing my art, and where is that, how is that a physical thing, but how is that also a mental thing? I think that's a very interesting one here, is that circus to me has always been so much of a, it looks physical but it is mental, at least to me.
What kind of lesson could we learn from it?
Well, one thing I heard them say today, I shouldn't try to go back to my old body. And I think that's something we should all not try to do. Never, no? Like we should, this idea of, but I used to be able to do this, it holds us back in many ways, both mentally and physically. So that's a good lesson, I guess.
Any recovery or any growth or evolutions come with small steps. This was their first step towards a new circus path. It was indeed the first time Saar was back up in the ropes after her caesarean. And remarkably enough, it's not mainly for themselves they want to share their experiences and lessons learned and expanded to others. Create a safe community where one does not have to recover as soon as possible. Because sometimes it's just not possible. But what can help is reframe the apparatus from the limitations that the rope, the harness or the clout spring bring to the support that they can provide. To literally feel supported to slowly take the next step. This was the first episode of the third season of Circus Whispers. Thanks very much for listening. Please subscribe to be the first to hear the next episode and share it with your friends. We're really happy that you're listening from all corners of the globe. From Accra to Munich, from New York to Wevelgem. It means the world to us. If you like,
please drop us a line at info@tent.eu. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Circus Whispers is a production of Tent, House for Contemporary Circus, hosted, produced, and edited by me, Maaike Muis. Big word of thanks to Saar Rombout, Sienna Bruce, Jait Metin, Benjamin Kuitenbrouwer, and the team of Tent. The makers for a week in 2023 are Lily Schlinker and Yannick Kramer, Samuel Reiner, Hanna de Vletter, Fenja Barteldres, Saar Rombout and Sienna Bruce, and Susanna Pavola. Tent is supported by Amsterdam Fonds for the Kunsten, Dutch Performing Art Fund, and Prins Bernhard Cultuurfonds. More info via tent.nl.